Welcome to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and today my interview is with Haragwine Waldemariam. Haragwine is from Ethiopia, a country that has suffered mightily from war and famine. But as a child, Haragwine was fortunate to have two loving parents who loved and protected her.
Growing up as a child in Ethiopia is something I really missed, since it was very enjoyable. I raised with a family of four, having parents during that time, and I went both elementary and high school in Ethiopia. I also started the first year college in Ethiopia and work part-time, so all that life is very enjoyable since it's my origin country.
What were your parents like?
My mom was a police, and my dad was a driver, a truck driver during that time.
Your mother was a policewoman?
Yes, she was.
What sort of things did she do?
She served the community around her, and when she retired, she had her own business too.
Doing detective work or police work?
Yes, during the police work, she was a detective, and she served mostly her own community around the area as a policewoman. Huh. I see how my mom was a very strong woman as a policewoman and raising four kids at the same time. And she's not alive now. So this memory of her being as a police right now gives me very good energy to raise four kids.
How did she get the job?
I think my mom was a very outgoing woman. She likes to do more of man's job. And at home also, she acts as a mom. I think that's her passion and her career goals came from her childhood passion, I believe, as what she told me. And she was very successful in that job as a woman, so I'm very proud of her.
Oh. And what was your dad like? He drove truck and delivery?
He drove truck, and he's a kind of quiet person compared to my mom. My mom is the one who, control everything in our home.
I see, yeah. There wasn't much room for her.
Plus he's usually outside, as a truck driver. He spent 2-3 days outside the city, so we have more time with our mom than our dad.
So what sort of things did having that powerful woman in your life, what did that instill in you? How did it shape you?
My mom is not only a hard worker, but she's the most kind person I have seen in my life since my childhood until the last time, we had together before she passed. She's always, every single and minute, she's very kind for other people. And I think I picked that from her, which is really great. It helped me a lot to raise my four kids with teaching them kindness is the most important thing in this world.
Tell me about your brothers and sisters.
I have two brothers, a late sister who passed back 2012. My two brothers are, one of them is the oldest for the family and one of them is the youngest, and we live in Colorado. But my sister passed back 2012.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So what prompted your family to pick up from Ethiopia and come to the United States?
So my sister came first, and we just followed her. It's a good opportunity for us, and a reunion with my sister as a young age. I didn't want to stay away from my sister, and that's my main reason, for example, that I came to United States. But also, in back home, the politics, the economy, we don't have a good opportunity to grow as a young kids when we were in Ethiopia. So everybody want to go abroad, especially with two first world country like United States, and have a good opportunity. So my sister came first and I followed her.
Why did she come? How did she?
She came through. She came to finish her college in here. She found some, college opportunity, so she came at a young age first.
What did she study?
She is a registered nurse. So she finished her school at CU, University of Colorado, as a registered nurse.
How old were you when you came?
I came at age 27.
Was it difficult for you?
Yes. I'm adult that time, you know, 27 years of my life was in back home. So at the first couple of years, I really missed my country. It was very difficult, but once you fit the system in here, you can see good opportunities. It's a great country here too. It's my second home. So.
But why did you come? You just described yourself as 27. You had a life there.
Yeah.
What changed for you?
The politics was not good there, number one. You know, again, there is no future. At that age, it's very hard to focus at school, you know, to have a good job and have a good life. And when my sister told me that I should join her here, that's how I came in here.
And Ethiopia's had its struggles, hasn't it? It's had famines and destabilized government.
Yes.
And those things were all playing on your family.
That is correct. All that affects us, so that is correct. Most of the governments are, you know, we don't have, I don't know, as you know, in Africa, most of them are corrupted, and it's only few people who has power live a good life, but the majority are not. Even if I have a good opportunity through struggle, you know, I used to study really hard to join the college. You have to do triple times than what you do in here to join the college in Ethiopia. And I did that to be successful. But still, even looking at other people who are in a famine, or, you know, people suffering with health care, people who suffering with job, at a young age is very difficult, and you just want to have a successful life. And I get this opportunity to come to United States, but then once I come, knowing that how my other community lives in back home, so I involve a lot in the community to support them right now.
Oh, so you're trying to do what you can to help those who are still in Ethiopia.
Yes. Yes, I do a lot of volunteering work since I came to this country. When there was a famine, my late sister and myself involved a lot to do some fundraising. Even recently, I involved with the Ethiopian community in Colorado to do some fundraising to support our community. And we did a $200,000 fundraising in one day. And that money goes back to Ethiopia to support my community.
You said your sister passed in 2012?
Yes.
Can you talk about that, or is that...
Sure. It was a domestic violence. My sister had two kids. She married and have her first kid back 2006 here in Colorado, but her late husband, ex-husband, was in Minnesota. He invited her, so she moved to him, but they didn't stay that long when they have this argument, I guess. Then I involved a lot since she's my only sister. I used to fly out to support her two little kids during that time. But this year, which is very dark for me, 2012, I was back home with my own two little kids. She was divorced during that time. She was a single mom having a full-time job to help her two kids. So this one day, when she came back from work, her ex-husband waited her in front of her apartment, and he shot her, and he did the same on him. It's a homicide. It's a murder-suicide at the same time. And her kids were at age 4 and 5 during that time.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
What were you left to do? Were you, when you got the word, then You went to, did they have someone who could take care of them, the kids?
So I was in Ethiopia at that time.
Oh, you were in Ethiopia.
Yeah, with my own two kids. But when I heard the news, knowing that this her two kids are, you know, having no one to help them, they became orphans. So I flew back to, I went to Ethiopia since my mom, you know, when she retired, she also, as I told you, she's very kind. So she has her own 15 kids that she brought to her house who didn't have parents during that time, just to help them, kids who lost their parents due to HIV, due to war, due to different reasons. And these 15 kids are from age 2 to age 8 during that time. And when she passed, there was no one to support them. So I flew back during my vacation time to help them there. And then 20 days after I left, and while I was looking for funds for these kids, I got this bad news that I lost my sister. So I have to flew back to Minnesota to, you know, help her kids. And I brought these two kids with me to Colorado. And I adopted them back 2000. I mean, I was a caregiver for them for a few years. And then the court approved for me to adopt them as my own kids.
So your mother was mothering, what, 12? 12 kids who didn't have families?
Yeah, 15 kids.
So she had an orphanage, basically, yes, in her house?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, how did she do that?
Yeah, she had this big land in back home, and, you know, she always said it's good to help other people. The meaning of life to live in this world is helping people who can't survive in this world. And she focused more on kids during that time. She helped a lot of people, a lot of her relatives, her friends, her family. But then that was not even enough for her. Then she collected these kids from different areas, and she used to support them, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So what were your parents? Your parents couldn't come to the United States then, could they? I mean, to help you?
They came to United States. My mom came a few times before she passed. And back 2000, I don't remember the year, but it was early in 2000, she came and she was diagnosed with liver cancer. Yeah. But during that time, it was not that's scary. I mean, the doctors told us it's something that we can, she can manage it. But then she said she has kids in back home, 15 kids, and she's not gonna stay in United States and be selfish with leaving these 15 kids behind. We begged her, we told her that her life matters, but she said, no, I will go, and until my last day, I will help these kids. So that's a big legacy that she left for us since she passed, and that's how I was trying to take care of them.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah.
I still can't quite understand how your mother was able, so the whole house had to be changed to
orphanage. Basically, it turned to orphanage, yeah. At the end, before she passed, you know, she, again, as I told you, she was a policewoman. She has a good connection with so many people. And she finally found a land, you know, they gave her a land to build a home for these 15 kids next to her house. And she did that. But once I lost my sister, I helped them for a few years, and then I was also in this huge trauma. You know, I myself need help. I was at the stage where I can't help these 15 kids. So what I did was, I don't want to leave them, you know, as a homeless at the same time. So I spoke with the Ethiopian government who taken care of orphan kids. And someone took the new land that my mom had to raise these 15 kids. She already built the house and everything for them. So I found someone who taken care of all these 15 kids plus the land. So right now, you know, once in a while, I have connection with few of the kids from this group, and they are most of them are very successful. You know, they finish high school, they finish, some of them finish college, some of them went to technical school, and you know, they survived. It is really a great legacy for us, and it's a good memory for my mom. This is something that she accomplished. But I want you to know that I didn't continue until they become adult after a few years with this trauma and shocking news of losing my sister in this traumatic situation. I couldn't raise my mom's kids.
Of course. But you found a way, just like your mother, to provide for those kids.
Yes.
And at the same time, you're grieving for your sister.
Yes.
And you have to figure out some way to take care of her kids.
Yes.
Because they're suddenly your kids.
Yes, that is true.
What was that like?
Oh my God, I don't know, it's the most challenging time in my life. It's the most dark time for me to pass through this challenge, but I am always thankful. I'm a faithful person that I believe in God. And at this time, I'm thinking that I went through that dark road since God wants me to be very strong so that I can raise my sister's kids and my own kids. And that's how I accepted it right now.
Oh.
I know.
You are the spirit of your mother. You live the spirit of your mother, you can tell.
Thank you.
What was your sister like? Tell me about her.
When we were raised back home, four of us, my two brothers and my sisters, the strongest sibling that we have was my sister. She's very strong. She's very honest. She's independent. And when she came to this country, she was also very independent. And she used to go to school full time. She also worked full time until she became an RN. And then when she became a single mom, you know, I learned most of my behavior and everything mostly from my mom. When it comes to kindness, when it comes to serving for other first before yourself, is right. From my mom. Yeah. But my sister was someone who is very, very strong. I still have this type of, I'm too kind sometimes, which I see that most people take an advantage of that in my life, which is a weakness. The way I researched that, I feel that is a weakness. You have to, especially with having four teenager kids, I sometimes tell myself, I have to be strong like my sister. My sister was very strong, and I knew if she was alive, she would make a difference in her community, in her family. But unfortunately, she lost her life at young age. That really bothers me a lot. But I want to tell you that my sister is someone who is very honest, very strong, and very independent.
And so you try to channel your sister when you get into a place where you feel like you're being too kind, or it seems overwhelming. You probably think about your sister and your mother.
Yes.
The spirits that...
The spirits, they guided me. I always talk to them as if they are here, especially when I face a huge challenge. I always say, hey, my sister, I'm not going to do this. Trust me. I have your strengths in me. You're part, you know, part of my life is not for your kids. Part of my life is for my own kids. And I have to use your strengths for half of it in here and my kindness. And when you combine that, it's really perfect.
And powerful.
It's very powerful, yes.
Strength and kindness that's a good combination.
It is.
So tell me about your kids.
Yeah, my kids are right. You know, when I had my sister's kids, they were 4 and 5, as I told you, back from 2012. But now they are 17 and 18. So my own kids are 15 and 16, and then 17 and 18. They're all teenagers, I know.
You are a busy woman.
I am. It's so busy. And luckily, these kids are very disciplined. I think God knows that I'm going to raise them on my own. So for some reason, I don't know how from where they got it. We used to go to church since they were kids, but the way they are raised is very disciplined, very smart kids. And sometimes I feel like there is no kids in the house. That's how much they are, you know, quiet and disciplined. And they have a big face, which is really great. Two of my kids, the youngest, the 15 and the 16, are deacons right now.
In the church.
In the church.
Deacons in the church.
Yeah, they do full service every Saturday and Sunday.
You must have used that power and that kindness in a really positive way to have those kinds of results. These kids are mature and helpful, not always, but
I'm sure. Yeah, I know. That is true. That is true. People are really, really amazed. Even like yesterday, we were at this graduation place, and most people were asking me when I find a friend and asking me about my kids, they always ask me, how did you raise them? And I always say, it's not me, it's God who guided them to be these kids. But I see that they took some of my parents, especially my mom's kindness. And, you know, she used to treat people really, really, I don't know how to even express it. She gave herself for other people for whole her life. She lost her mom at age 7. I think that pain is, sometimes when I think, I was always asking myself, why didn't my mom is never, ever been selfish for a second? She always lived for others. And I see that probably she didn't have a mom at age 7. That's why. But I see now on my kids that kind of, her spirit is in my kids. Because I never expect kids in America would have the same type of pattern as what my mom used to be in back home when it comes to kindness and when it comes to serving other people first before themselves.
But you have done an amazing thing here with these four kids, all really academically strong and focused on their life, but also focused on you, I would imagine. How let me ask that question that's always asked of you. How did you do that?
Again, I learned this from my parents. I guess, you know, it's unconscious. I never calculated how my parents raised me. I knew how they raised me after I have my kids, and I thanked them all the time. But then, again, unconsciously, I passed that to my kids, I guess, on day to day. I always teach them, you know, be nice for other people, be kind for other people, be for yourself. And I never stopped going to church every Sunday, no matter how busy I was with these four kids during their childhood time. But it really works now. The way I teach them, they applied it. But again, the church helped a lot for them to serve other people, I think. And academically, I always, you know, I was, as I told you earlier, I really struggled to be a successful student in back home. I used to study 16 hours, you know, it's not like USA. It's the competition is very, very high, and you have to study like more than 8 hours, you know, going to school for 8 hours and study another 8 hours to be competitive and join to the college in back home. So I have that inside myself. So I applied to my kids. My kids sometimes criticize me that, Mom, we never seen, if you go and ask them, what's the big challenge when your mom raised? And the first thing they say is, she put us to study long hours when we were kids, especially during COVID. Yeah. But it really works now. They're very, very successful. All my boys you know, take honor classes, AP classes, and college classes. So when they graduate high school, they will have their associate degree. So they will go only 2 years to college. So it works. But sometimes I regret because I feel like, did I take their childhood life only on education? But I don't know. It's really great. They are very happy. They are very successful. But most importantly, they have fear of God, which really is my goal in my life. So all that things are really makes me happy at this time.
I mean, it must have been hard for your sister's kids to suddenly have another life and another mother.
Yeah, they had a huge trauma because they were 4 and 5. But what I did was my family, my two brothers and myself, we talk about it and we give them unconditional life. You know, whenever we see them as a kid, if they do anything wrong, you know, at their teenager, no matter what they do, we provide them unconditional love. That's number one. Number two, I never show revenge. I never show any rage to the paternal family. My door is always open for them to come and visit the kids. That way, these kids will not have this anger when they grow up. That really also helps them, even though it's very hurtful for me. No matter what it is, I always go for the best interest of the kids.
That was Haraguin Waldemariam. Haraguin's next challenge is trying to find the funds to send her four bright children to college and technical school. You've been listening to the Immigrant Stories program. For more on immigrant stories, go to immigrantstories.net or check us out on Facebook or Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening.